okay with that as well. So that way, somebody doesn't try to circumvent planning and zoning by getting something approved there, then going through Devin and trying to circumvent the system a little bit and get by him. Section 14 just helps to standardize the drawings. It says sheets showing typical symbols to be used in the preparation of engineering. So that just, so that way we clearly know what the differences are, how people draw stuff. And that comes back to just engineering. Some engineers use MoDOT standards. Some engineers may use Branson standards, stuff like that. And so I'm just trying to make sure it's clearly shown, what the different symbols mean on the drawings. And that's part of the drawing part itself. Section 14, roadway classification is modified to the developer shall meet with Taney County Road and Bridge Department to determine, and then this information will be used to establish a design criteria for each roadway within the development. So if I'm a developer and I'm building a multiple road subdivision, I would meet with Devin to help get the official, is this a local, a collector, or arterial, any of those types of designations, so that way I know which road standards to use. Each one of those will have minimum curve tables, will have minimum site distances, and will have certain offsets, different widths, things of that nature to them. And that's just kind of in accordance with standard engineering roadway design. But it gives the developer and the county road department an ability to work together on that, to develop the standards up front. Page 16, table 3.9, minimum right-of-way width. Minimum right-of-way width from our expressway was 130 feet. We reduced that to 100 feet minimum. It can be greater than 100 feet, but honestly, through the development and looking at the expressway project itself, it was pretty clearly determined that 100 feet of roadway would be good for all cases, and so there was no need to require the 130 when 100 was ample for that style of roadway. And so that's why we amended that. Section 17, the roundabout section was deleted in its entirety. Page 17, section 12, driveway item 1, minimum length shall be 20 feet, was added to the paragraph, so that way you have a minimum driveway length of 20 feet. So you can make sure you get a car all the way off the road. Section 12, driveway item number 1, any culvert over 40 feet will require a cleanup box provided by the property owner. And so sometimes your small culverts, they can get very long depending on how the property owner has it set up. And those can be, if they plug up, they can pose a threat to the integrity of the road itself nearby. And so Devin and his guys may need to clear those out periodically or have the landowner clear them out. And adding a clean-out box will allow them to be cleaned out a lot easier.
Can I ask you about 1712, the minimum length shall be 20 feet?
Yep.
That's from the right-of-way, correct? So if you have a home that has a variance of 15 feet to set 15 feet, is that not reading that right? The closest variance you could ever get would be 20? Or what do you consider right-of-way length?
I read that wrong.
Width of the culvert?
Width of the culvert there. I read that wrong. I was trying to summarize that, okay. So I didn't have to read all 35 pages.
Is it taking like a 15-foot to drive off the end?
Okay,
of
so the width of the culvert.
Width, sorry. sorry about that. That was my mistake on that one.
The
minimum width of the culvert would be 20 feet.
Are you talking about where you got the 40 feet?
No.
No, you're talking about up on the minimum length shall be 20 feet.
Yes. Yes, that's the minimum length of the culvert under the driveway would be 20 feet.
That's the culvert under driveway.
And then if you have one over 40 feet, we will require you to have a box culvert.
Because we've had people to cut back on costs since they provide the culvert initially, only want to do a 10-foot, and then they drive off the ends, and that caused a lot of maintenance for us.
Okay. On that note, just right above that, why did we delete the roundabout entirely? I just wondered.
I don't perceive us putting a roundabout on any county road.
I would. we don't really have that come up on a private development too often, number one. And then number two, it's one of those things that's fairly unique and each one can be a little bit different. And so it's really hard to have a good standard if somebody did want to do those. If they wanted to do a roundabout, we'd recommend that they follow the amend the road standards portion of that, and then we would default probably to MoDOT on their roundabout design, which is the roundabout design documents, just as long as this entire document on its own. Roundabouts, I've designed a handful of them. They're fairly complex on getting the grades right and things of that nature. So,
the cost.
And they're fairly costly. So, honestly, for the most part, we'd probably discourage most developers. They may do a traffic calming circle, which is a little different than a roundabout, but a true roundabout, most of your developers aren't going to want to tangle with one. And if they did, we'd want to fall back on somebody like MoDOT for their design standards for a roundabout. And take it on a case by case and do a full review of it. There's a lot of weird things that can happen with geometries and things of that nature with a roundabout. And, I'm doing one in Marshfield right now, and I probably could have designed 20 intersections in the time it took to do that one roundabout. I mean, there are a lot more to them than you think until you get into them.
Well, you might have said something that I was always thinking, because other countries, when we were talking about roundabouts here years ago, and I thought, well, other countries have been using those for years, but perhaps what's a traffic common circle? Maybe that's what they're using, where they're narrow road streets, mm-hmm. and you're going, and the roads, you're just going off here, and you're going around, you go around.
So like a roundabout, you never stop. In theory, nobody ever stops. In theory, so you have to have radiuses that nobody would ever stop. You would come flying in there, and you go around your circle, and you come back out. Now, if you had full what we call full saturation, or basically cars everywhere, then you may end up stopping. But for the most part, you never stop
down here.
In a true roundabout, and you watch the online videos of people in Europe, they don't hardly stop for anything. You know, they just go flying right in there because they're used to them. On the traffic calming circle, you see that sometimes in your nice developments. You'll see them every once in a while where they'll have a fountain in the middle. That's kind of, you pull in there. Sometimes there's not even an intersection around it. You just kind of go around. You just go around some sort of item that causes you to slow way down. Sometimes you can use it as an architectural feature to make it look nice, but you don't. It just helps slow traffic down sometimes. Now, if there is an intersection there, a lot of times there'll be a signed stop at those, you know, so you come up to a traffic circle and two of the legs may stop completely and then take off again. But on a true roundabout, in theory, nobody's ever supposed to stop. Also, there's a lot of debate on how true roundabouts function with pedestrians and ADA. If nobody's ever supposed to stop, how is somebody supposed to cross them? And so then they become somewhat of a traffic circle because you start stopping them on purpose with stoplights, and that can be a bit of a pain. But that is a bit of a debate sometimes in the engineering community, is true ADA compliance and roundabouts, how they work together.
What do we call what we have right down here at 160 and 76?
They technically call that a roundabout.
I've stopped many times if a car is coming around here and I'm trying to come out onto it.
But the sign doesn't tell you explicitly to. So in theory, you could wing it and attempt it. It's all in your level of...
I believe someone has hit someone down there too.
I believe it happens a lot. I'm just in general.
Okay. Thank you.
On page 18, section 14, item two, we updated it. HS20 was the design standard when the last set was put out, and HL93 is the new design standard for roadway. And so basically all your new bridges and bicycle boards are supposed to be designed to HL93. That's just a standard design vehicle. And that's a point load, like an 18-wheeler, plus a lane load, so like a uniform load like cars would be. On page 20, item 1, general, it used to say reference to 2004 edition of Missouri State Standard Specifications to the latest Missouri Standard Specifications. And then the last sentence was to include the latest edition of the manual for uniform traffic control devices. And so that's based upon ever-changing technologies. It used to be that every few years, the state of Missouri or MoDOT would basically print a large book called the Missouri Standard Specifications for Highway Construction. It looked just like a Bible. They made them in a little, they were a little book, and they came out and they were color coded. So did you have a blue one or a white one? You could tell what edition you had by the color. Since they've changed it over to basically a Wikipedia style page, they may update that thing 3 or 4 times a year. And so, manual for uniform traffic control devices, for the most part, was a book, but they've started to move more towards updating these periodically, and they may update them throughout the year if something comes up. And so we've just defaulted to say the latest edition, because literally they may change the concrete spec 2 or 3 times in one year, one period. And that just encompasses whatever's up to date today, if there's some sort of material change or things like that. Page 23 would change Taney County Engineer to Taney County Highway Administrator.